This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Place to Be Nation reaction show. I'm your host, Chris Zelma. Join us all is my co-host, Devin Hales. And Devin, you are the Oracle of WWE. I can't forget that. And we have been gone for a little over a month now, and we're in 2020, and we're here for the Royal Rumble, a show that is always probably my favorite WWE show of the year, and what a show we had tonight.
Yes, I have secured, maybe not quite secured my Mania tickets. They're at my parents'. They're mailed to their place. But I have secured my tickets to Mania weekend. It was quite the show, for sure.
Yes, it was. All right, so we got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. All right, we had a two-hour pre-show. So we have our first match with Sheamus and Shorty G in the at Minute Maid Park in Houston, another baseball stadium, which I love that they're doing that now for the Rumble. And yeah, these two have been, you know, having some matches on SmackDown. Well, not having matches, but having issues on SmackDown. And they had their first match tonight, and it was okay, you know, nothing spectacular. Sheamus looked good, you know, after being gone for a while. Shorty G got some offense on him, and Sheamus put him down with a bro kick. So, there you go. Nothing spectacular, just, you know, just a way to get Sheamus a win and get him back going again. What were your thoughts?
You know what? I actually thought this match was excellent. I really liked this.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the crowd was thin, but I actually think they got into it for the people who were in the building. And I really, really enjoyed this. I mean, Sheamus doesn't look like he's lost a step at all in the ring. He still kicks ass. I loved his work over Gable's arm and the finger manipulation stuff. Gable got a nasty cut on his ear and was bleeding all over Sheamus a little bit. There was quite a bit of blood tonight, and you know, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, this was I really, really, really liked this. I thought it was a really strong match. Really good performance from both. And Sheamus did not look like he lost a step. Looked awesome. Looked like one of the better wrestlers in the company still. And, yeah, I really enjoyed this. Good match. Very, very good opener.
Yeah, one thing we cannot deny with Sheamus is he's one of the all-timers. You know, he's
absolutely
a tremendous performer for so many years. And, yeah, I mean, he's there. I mean, he's back, and it's good to see him back, and hope for some big things for him. And Shorty G, I mean, hey, he did his job. You know,
he did.
Made Sheamus look good, and that's what he was supposed to do. That's what he was supposed to do. So, there you go. Next, we get Andrade and Humberto Carrillo for the U.S. title. One thing to note here, Tom Phillips was announcing with Jerry Lawler for this match, and we'll talk more about that as we go on with the show. I thought this was a really good match. Both guys went out there and worked their asses off. They were doing all the stuff. I mean, if you've seen their matches, this is one of their deals. You know, I mean, this is their type of match. And man, it was really damn good. They've had some better TV matches than this one, but still good stuff. And Andrade got a counter on the standing Uruguayana and got the pin and retained this title. So, your thoughts on this match and Andrade and Carrillo, and where do we go from here?
This was really, really damn good too. I agree with you. It was a really well worked match. It was different than their match at TLC. If you recall, their pre-show at TLC had, I believe, Andrade and Humberto in a pre-show match. And that was much more of a spot heavy match, which is, I mean, come on, these guys can do that match very, very well. But this was much more worked as a title. And, you know, that makes sense. You know, it's a title on the line here this time. It was much more of a title match feel, and they did a very good job of that. Much, you know, different pace, and they killed it. I liked it a lot. Andrade is getting a very sustained, consistent push and kicking ass while doing it. So another really good match from him this year.
Absolutely, he's been tremendous all year. I mean, we're just a few weeks in, but you know, he started. I mean, he had a really strong year last year, but ever since he got the U.S. title back from Ray in December, I mean, he's been on it, and yeah, and I like the way they brought back Umberto last week on Raw, so should be interesting to see where we go from here with these guys, and yeah, I dug it a lot, so. Yeah, so we had the two matches. They did the pre-show matches back-to-back, so basically they had 30 minutes left where we didn't have any matches. That was an odd way of doing this. They normally, kind of spread out the matches.
A lot of people didn't make this show, Chris. You know, if you think about it, I mean, there were a lot of people that did not make the card. But this, the roster's so overloaded. I mean, it's not really surprising.
Well, you got... I mean, let's look. I mean, you got. I know Ali didn't. He was one that talked about he wasn't on the show.
Right.
We had Buddy and AOP, who were on the show, but not in the, in a match. And there's other guys too. I mean, Street Profits had their little deal. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of talent in that company right now. Absolutely. So.
Oh yeah.
All right, so the main show starts with a false count anywhere match with Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin, King Corbin. Now, I'm going to be honest. I haven't watched SmackDown in months. I think I talked about that in the last show we did. I mean, I see what's going on. I mean, I see, the clips online and stuff, and that's the way, I'll keep up with it. But I just don't feel like watching that show. And this feud is still going on. So here we go. Falls Count Anywhere, and this was, it was what it was. They went all over the place. We got stuff on Doug. They got them brawling on top of the dugouts, which was nice. Interesting to see that the Washington Nationals logo was still in the visitors' dugout. Thought that was a nice touch. Of course, with all the controversy with the Astros lately. There's a lot of people making Astros jokes during the show, including my favorite was the fact that they couldn't have the WrestleMania physical sign in the park because the Astros would steal it. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's right. But the WrestleMania sign wasn't there, was it?
It was on the scoreboard. Yeah, it was on the Tron.
That's right. Yeah, they're going to –
Yeah. So, I mean, we got brawl in the crowd. Rude and Ziggler got involved. They tried to handcuff Roman to the rail. Usos came out. We got big dives off platforms. Jimmy got slammed on a bike rack. We got Corbin into a porta potty, which Michael Cole called a structure.
Yeah, what the hell?
That's crazy. Of course, Corbin got tipped over in the crowd chanting, "Holy shit!" We got the dugout brawl. The crowd was, was into it for sure. And Roma got the Superman punch of spear on the dugout for the pinfall win. So I thought that was a nice touch. They did the finish on the dugout. So that was cool. So there we go. I mean, it was what it was. And it was a good brawl. So that's about all you can ask for in this match, I thought. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this was a fun match. Very fun match. Had the typical crowd brawling plunder, a little bit of plunder. I figured... Corbin's boys and Roman's boys would come in and everybody got involved and it was a lot of fun. But I the part that cracked me up, you just mentioned Michael Cole calling porta potty structures. Like, I mean, what the hell? I like vocally was like, why did he call him that? That was very weird.
Vince.
Yes. Oh, that structure.
Oh no, you would think with Vince that love shit that he would call it a porta potty, whatever.
If this was a WWF hardcore title match from 2000, there would have been shit everywhere. So or at least Corbin,
yeah.
or at least a string of toilet paper would have been trailing Corbin for the rest of the match. But Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I dug the finish. I thought Roman was going to spear him off the dugout at first, but that wasn't to be. But it was still a really good finish, really fun brawl. And I actually think the most brutal spot was when Jimmy got slammed on the bike rack and the bike rack didn't move. that looked really painful. But yeah, this was a really fun opener. I liked it, and thank God Roman Reigns won.
Whew. Yeah, finally, because he hadn't won. Corbin had the win so far in singles matches. So there you go. So hopefully this feud is over. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed. Prayers.
You know, I don't watch SmackDown, so I won't know anyone. I won't see these guys again until March. All right. Next we get Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe. You know, talk BSing backstage and talk about the Rumble. So, of course, you know, they're going to fight each other when they get in the Rumble. And we'll talk about if they did or not later on. Sonya Deville and Mandy were with Kayla, and they said that they were going to fight. And Sonya said she gladly eliminated herself if it came down to her and Mandy. Mandy just looked at the camera. All right, next. Michael Cole talks about the death of Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, in their helicopter crash that they had earlier today as we record this. And there were 9 people total in that crash. And just a horrible tragedy. Horrible tragedy. It's one of those things that it just transcends everything, you know. This is one of those deals that... You know, it's a global story. You know, it's a story that, you know, it's just, you have to talk about it. It's just the way it is. It's how big Kobe Bryant was as a personality and just the nature of how this was. And, you know, the fact that, you know, his daughter was starting to, you know, play basketball, you know, on a competitive basis. And really getting good at it, and Kobe has been seen with her lately. He's been, you know, getting involved with other women's basketball, you know, things like, I know he was with the Oregon women's basketball team. He's done stuff with NBA lately. So him getting more involved in the basketball scene again, you know, for the first time really after retirement, and it's just so sad. And of course, the other people that died in the wreckage, the pilots, there was a baseball coach from Orange County. I think he may have been a retired coach, but his daughter played with Kobe's daughter, and him and his wife and his daughter died. And there was another teacher or something that died in the wreck, and it's just another coach, excuse me, just total tragedy. So yeah, man, just the best wishes and thoughts to all the family members and friends that suffered the major loss today.
Yeah, absolutely. Kobe was, I mean, I basically grew up with, you know, with Kobe Bryant as a player. I wasn't really watching sports till after Jordan retired. So Kobe was sort of the guy who, in a lot of ways, kept the heart pumping for the NBA before LeBron came in. And really, that's a fact. He was the face of the NBA between Jordan and LeBron. And I mean, he was one of those guys who seemed like he was going to be around forever. And his retirement was shocking enough, even though it was time for, you know, that. But yeah, this is pretty much beyond words. And yeah, definitely best wishes and prayers and thoughts to Kobe and his friends and family for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm older than you. And Kobe's a year older than me. I mean, I remember him. He was, when he came out of high school and with all the hype and everything and, you know, going into the pros. Kevin Garnett had did it a year before coming out of high school, but Kobe doing it. I mean, the real reason why Kevin Garnett mainly did it because he couldn't get into college because of his grades.
Right.
Well, that wasn't a problem with Kobe Bryant. I mean, Kobe Bryant was extremely intelligent, you know, well-read, international traveler because his dad played around the world. I mean, Kobe Bryant could have gotten into any school he wanted to. And in fact, if I remember, if he would have played college basketball, he was going to play for Duke, which, you know,
yes,
it ain't no easy job to get into Duke. Let me tell you that, folks. So he did it because he was, he went to the NBA because he knew he was good enough to do it, and he did it. And he's one of the greatest players that ever lived. And again, just total shame, total tragedy. So yeah, good on WWE for acknowledging it, because I mean, it's one of those things where you have to acknowledge this. All right. So next we get the Women's Royal Rumble. And our announcers are Tom Phillips, Corey Graves, and Jerry Lawler. And they announced, I kind of missed this, but now, you know, I see it in this recap, I must have missed the announcement, where they said it would be 90-second intervals. Which for this match seemed like it was less than 90. But anyway. All right, so Tom's here with Lawler again. That's a theme we're noticing. So, we'll talk more about that later. All right. So, Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair were the first two entrants. And it was interesting to see Bianca here this early. But that's going to set a theme. Mighty Molly comes in. Nikki Cross comes in. Lana comes in. Lana gets major heel heat, mocking fans. Mercedes Martinez comes in, which was great to see her in there. Then we get Liv Morgan, and now we're about to get the fan. So Liv comes in and eliminates Lana with a phantom strike. She never touched her. And then Lana pulled Liv out. And let me just say this. Liv Morgan tonight, folks.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Yes. Yes, sir. She's
quite the looker.
She's a sweet petunia, I tell you that. So, I thought Lana's gear was tremendous as well. I thought she had some great gear. There's a lot of people who had great gear tonight.
Oh, yeah.
The WWE wardrobe crew did a great job. So then, you know, Liv and Lana were brawling around. If you notice, we've dropped all the lesbians stuff from this angle, by the way. They don't mention that no more. So we had it for that one night. That was it. So then we get Mandy Rose and Candice LeRae. So, I mean, we got a ring full of people here. And Mandy Rose tonight, folks.
Wow.
When she came out, I said, Super Liv. Mandy Rose was having problems with her gear as she was constantly getting a wedgie, which was interesting. She was caking it up tonight, folks. So then Bianca eliminated Molly. And Molly, at one point in time, looked like she may have had some issues in this match. She was talking to the referees for a minute there, but she got herself together and kept going and had a good outing. Then we get Alexa eliminating Mandy, or so we thought. Because when Mandy went over the top rope, the crowd immediately went crazy right there. I'm like, okay, that's odd. Otis was there to catch her fall. That crowd loved that so much. And Otis had been hiding under the ring, and that was tremendous. She landed on top of Otis. She stood on top of Otis, which I'm sure a lot of guys would have been dreaming to have that happen to them. And she got back in there, and by the time she got back in there, Sonya was in. So they teamed up to eliminate Mercedes Martinez. Kairi Sane came out. And she was in the match. Mia Yim came in. So we got women just going to war again. Sonya hit Mandy by accident, and Otis saved her again from elimination. And then Bianca tossed Sonya into both of them. They all fell down. So the crowd was into Otis and Mandy. That's probably the best angle SmackDown's got going on right now. Think about that, folks. Otis and Mandy Rose, the best booked angle on SmackDown. Then we get Dana Brooke looking like Jim from Jim and the Holograms, and she gets in there, and at this point in time, Bianca press slammed Candace over the top to the floor and press a spot. Bianca's eliminating people left and right. She's looking great. Alexa eliminated Kairi by slapping her off the top rope. Then we get Tamina out of nowhere. Look, and she's Tamina.
Yeah.
She got in there, and Bianca got rid of her. Thank God. So this left Alexa and Bianca in by themselves again. So number one and number two are left standing in the ring at this point in time, where we're halfway, basically almost halfway through, as Dakota Kai comes in next. Evil Dakota. And at this point, Mia was involved until this time. So Alexa eliminated Mia. Then the great Chelsea Green came out with her new manager, Tony Khan. I mean, Robert Stone. He looked just like Tony Khan tonight. And then Alexa immediately eliminated Chelsea after Chelsea eliminated Dakota. I thought that was interesting. And then Bianca eliminated Dana. So then we get Alexa and Bianca all together again. So they go to battle. And, of course, this is time for Charlotte Flair to come out, which everybody knew then. Here we go. But not so fast. No eliminations yet. And then Naomi made her big return at 18. And when I mean big, she made it big because her afro was humongous. What an afro Naomi had coming out here. I mean, she looked tremendous. And she got in there. She didn't look very rusty at all. And, you know, the crowd was into it. Then Beth Phoenix shows up at 19. So we got Beth making her a Rumble return here. And so we got all these women in there fighting. And then Toni Storm comes out. And Toni also brought the cake this evening. She got in there. And it was cool seeing these women, some different women in there. I mean, Bianca and Toni NXT, Beth, you know, Legend, Charlotte and Alexa, main roster. So we get a nice little mix here of talent. But at this point in time, Charlotte gets rid of Bianca, who's gone in 33 minutes. So, hell of an outing for Bianca Belair. So, I think seven eliminations, Devin, am I right?
It might have been eight, actually. I think it was eight.
Seven or eight eliminations. Bianca got a great push in this match, folks. She's primed now for a main roster run. Then we get Kelly Kelly. Okay. Kelly comes in and it was interesting watching Kelly come in and doing her old style offense, because it looks these days to how the women's matches are, you know, using the steak face, you know, I mean, just odd. Give me the steak face of Toni Storm. Imagine Toni Storm giving somebody a steak face. Then Sarah Logan came out looking like the stalker, Barry Windham. And Charlotte immediately got rid of her, keeping their continuity going. And Kelly almost eliminated Charlotte. And at one time, we thought Charlotte had a bloody nose. And that wasn't the case. Natalya comes out next. And as this is happening, you see on the camera that Beth Phoenix's back of her head is completely red.
I'm like Ric Flair in an 80s brawl red.
Yes. So Natalya's out at 23. And, of course, her and Beth will start teaming up. And so we got all kind of action. Xia Li comes out at 24. Mark Henry's pants came off at that point in time. Then we had Zelina Vega at 25. At this point in time, Beth's hair is completely turning red. Shotzi Blackheart makes a surprise appearance at 26. She's had a little spotlight last couple weeks on NXT. Eliminated Shayna from the NXT Battle Royal. So she got in here. Natalya at this point in time almost eliminates Naomi, and she lands feet first on the barricade like John Morrison did a few years ago. So she makes her way up the barricade and eventually straddles it. Carmella gets in. At this point in time, Naomi's found her way to the announce table. So Beth's still bleeding more. Beth and Natty thought they eliminated Charlotte, but she went through the middle rope. Tegan Nox showed up. Now, this is the weirdest part of the match to me. Why didn't you have Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai in the ring at the same time?
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know why they didn't do that. They definitely should have done that. I mean, if you want people to watch NXT.
I mean, it would have made sense.
Right.
I mean, and she ate a glam slammer. And real quick on Tegan Nox, that video of her with her hair down on NXT, man, she looks so much like Ronda Rousey in that, with her hair down. It's insane. You don't really see it as much with the hair up, but when her hair was down, oh my God. Man. So then Santina Marella comes out at 29. Now, the crowd had a big pop for this. There were some people that were upset about this, and I understand. But this was continuity. You know, they're playing off the whole thing with Beth Phoenix, and Beth was not happy. And, of course, you know, because it was 11 years ago in Houston at WrestleMania, where Santino Marella eliminated Beth Phoenix to win Miss WrestleMania. And they brought that up on commentary. 11 years callback, folks. So then Santina broke out the Cobra, used it on himself, herself, and went over the top rope to eliminate. They could be eliminated. Big pop. Then number 30 comes out. Now, there were two names that were mentioned that people were wondering about for this match. One was Sasha Banks, and one was Ronda Rousey. This was neither one. It was Shayna Baszler. At this point in time, Ronda tweeted out a meme of her, a picture of her with this wild look on her face. Did you expect? Were you expecting something? And Sasha is supposedly has an ankle issue.
Oh, okay.
So she does have. It was from the Dana Brooke match. So on SmackDown.
Wonder how bad.
So
it
there's
is.
Some type of. And I don't know. If, I don't think it's serious. It's just enough to, you know, keep her out of action. Right. So anyway, Shayna comes in. So Shayna goes on an elimination spree. She eliminates Mia. She eliminates Tegan. She eliminates Zelina Vega. She eliminates Shotzi as payback for NXT. She eliminated Carmella. Then she eliminated Nikki Storm, Naomi. Got rid of all of them. She got a heart attack from Beth and Natty. Then Beth eliminated Natty as continuity from the last time they were rolling together because Natty eliminated her. So there you go. Then Charlotte showed up after being on the floor. And Charlotte and Shayna had a stare down, and the crowd was into that. So that's something to look for in the future. Shayna eliminated Beth, and Charlotte and Shayna were the final two. And Charlotte got a leg scissors and pulled Shayna over top, got the win. Fireworks went off crazy. Charlotte came out and interviewed Charlotte. Charlotte said she didn't care if he liked it or not. She was the best. And Charlotte was the odds-on favorite to win this match. So basically, I don't think it was a surprise at all. I mean, that's who I pretty much expected to win. So. On that note, after all what we just talked about, your thoughts on this Women's Royal Rumble?
I just want to talk about the standout performers more than anything. Bianca was amazing in this.
Tremendous.
Like, amazing. Tremendous. Like, her work was great.
She belonged.
By the way,
yes.
Alexa was very good in this, too. And Alexa and Bianca had good chemistry. Like,
I want a singles match.
I've been very critical of Alexa and her ring work. And sometimes with Alexa, she just doesn't have good chemistry with people. And she has very good chemistry with Bianca. They had really, really good interactions.
Alexa has chemistry with people that will, like, be physical.
Yes.
That's what her and Sasha have those matches that they had. Right. You know, even though, I mean, they had this personal issue, but, I mean, they went in there and they went at it. And Bianca brings a physicality to their matches. I think Alexa and Shayna could have a hell match too, boy. I tell you, that's the type of people Alexa could be really good against.
I really like that they did the Sean Davey Boy from '95 deal with Alexa and Bianca, right? Like, obviously they didn't last to the very end, like Sean and Davey Boy did, but I really like that they did that because they haven't done that in a long time, and I think this is the only other time they've ever done that.
One thing we could say, you know, and we'll talk about the Men's Royal Rumble too, is that both Royal Rumbles this year are vastly different.
Yes, they were.
And unique.
Yes. Very well booked too. Like, I really enjoyed them. Beth Phoenix is the star of the night. I mean, to bleed like a stuck pig and to keep going and to keep Paramount home and taking the spots that she took a run on her head at one point while she was bleeding everywhere. Like, she had to take her breaks because it was necessary to get checked up on stuff. you know, they probably did a brief concussion protocol and whatnot and make sure she knew where she was. Because you don't want a Kyrie situation again, like last month.
No.
And but no. Beth was, you know, she was clearly lucid and fine, just an ugly cut. I don't know how she got it, but she was amazing. Busted her ass, made people look good. Great performance from her tonight. Awesome performance. And Naomi did not look like she lost a step at all. Like, she came in there, hit all of her spots beautifully. I thought her mimicking Morrison's spot was more impressive with her doing it than Morrison, because she jumped too low. So she really had to catch, if you notice. She almost fucked it up. Like,
she came very close to touching.
Like, she really had to, like get a really good base. Like, really get her body low for that, because she jumped at a bad angle. So, yeah, I mean, that was very impressive. Charlotte winning. Look, I'm not a huge fan of it. I think she was clearly one of the favorites. I think she was probably one of the three favorites. I still thought Ronda had a shot to come back and win it. I thought Shayna was a clear favorite. But I would say Charlotte was probably the next, and then maybe Sasha after her. I'm not thrilled with it, but I understand it. Charlotte's a major star. Major stars win the Rumble. It's one of their accolades to always get. Perfectly fine with her winning it, ultimately. I just don't want to see, and we'll get to the match, you know, but I just don't want to see a rehash of what we got in 2018 and 2019 in terms of the opponent she may be facing. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think there's going to be a swerve.
There's March still to come. You know?
Yep.
We still got March.
We do. We still have March. Lots of time. Lots of time.
So, I mean,
9 weeks to WrestleMania.
Charlotte winning the Rumble is one thing. I mean, who she's going to – I mean, you got to think about, okay, there's our champions are Bayley and Sasha Banks. I mean, Bayley and Becky Lynch. I don't see her challenging for SmackDown because her and Andrade are on the same show.
Right.
And that's not going to change.
Right.
So it's going to be the Raw women's title, but it don't have to be. It don't have to necessarily be Becky Lynch she faces at WrestleMania.
True.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Oh, it'll be interesting if they did take the belt off Becky. And we'll talk about Becky more as we come along, but it'd be interesting to see what happens. But Charlotte's got, got the chance here. And yeah, I mean, we'll see. All right. Well, speaking of Bayley. Oh, and by the way, I mean, I never said I thought the women's Royal Rumble match was tremendous.
Yes, better than last year's, and probably better.
Oh God,
the first year has so much history that you kind of, it's one of those, you know what I mean? But
first had the emotion and all the all those women that came back.
Just tremendous.
In ring, yeah, the in ring stuff was great.
Last year it was not good in the ring at all, but the moment with Becky was so good that but.
Yeah. Yeah, the story was really good. All right, so next we get Bayley against Lacey Evans for the SmackDown Women's title. And Lacey's husband and her daughter was at ringside, which Lacey's daughter's been the major player in this angle, basically. Match is okay. Nothing spectacular here either. Lacey tried for a springboard moonsault. Bayley got her knees up. Held the tights, get the pinfall win. Bayley retained her title. So there you go. I think we're not done with these two yet. So we'll probably have some more with these two. But I want to ask you about this. Okay. Again, I haven't watched SmackDown, so I haven't seen a whole lot of Bayley's heel work on there recently. But I was seeing people, I'm going to say arguing, but, kind of minorly debating the fact of Bayley's heel work and saying that they just aren't convinced of her as a heel, saying she comes off as she's trying to be a heel mourning she's being a heel. Where do you stand on Bayley as a heel right now?
I think that there's definitely something to that. I actually like her promos as a heel, but there is definitely a forced nature there. She definitely is playing a heel rather than coming off as an authentic heel. And that is a problem. You know, the heel turn is what she needed in order for her to sort of go into the next stage of her career, because if she doesn't turn heel, you know, I mean, they're not going to do anything with her. You know what I mean? Like, this was her one way into getting a push. And, you know, it was a sacrifice that she had to make. And, you know, definitely does feel forced. As far as the match goes, I didn't think it was very good at all. Their TV match, like 2 weeks ago, was actually very good. You know, very good TV match. This was not it. Was in a bad spot. They worked a pretty, like, uninspired match anyways, the way it was laid out. And the crowd was just tired from the Women's Rumble. So, I mean, there were a lot of factors that hurt this match. And I also, you know, it's weird. Like, Lacey is over on the TV shows, but at a big show with all these smart fans and shit, she's probably not going to get cheered a lot. So that also didn't help.
This match would have it's a theme for both women's title matches tonight. Both women's title matches would have worked better in the regular environment.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
So that's that on that one. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I mean, again, the way this match was, the finish,
it's not over. They're going to keep, because the cheating heel, yeah, this is going on.
Yeah. All right, next, we got another SmackDown special. Strap match for the Universal Championship. Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, against Daniel Bryan. We had a 13-foot-long strap here. And the referee held up Wyatt's custom face belt, which was interesting. That was the belt they used to signify the title here, I thought. One thing to note here, and again, I don't watch SmackDown, but I found out this was the first time. No red light.
Thank God. Yeah.
You know what? I saw some conflicting emotions about the red light. You know, basically saying that the red light made Bray look more evil compared to when you see him in the gimmick in straight light.
Not for me.
Where he looked like a goof.
But that's,
some people thought he looked like more of a goof.
I think he looks scarier. I was watching with non-fans, and they were both like, this guy's kind of creepy.
I saw conflicting emotions on that. All right. Bryan was welted up early from the straps. We got some blood on his elbow, his back. I mean, these guys worked hard. Bryan's an amazing performer. And this match is one of those instances where you just show this match to people and say, here's one of the all-time greatest professional wrestlers ever right here. I mean, just watch him in this match. He was tremendous in everything he did. And the crowd was with him. And, I mean, he made this match what it was. I mean, just tremendous stuff on his part. And Bray did enough to, you know, Bray did what he needed to do to just keep up with him. And he was effective. We got some, you know, false finishes. And which, here's the thing. They had a strap match, but they were doing pinfalls in this match. I can't stand it. If you're doing a strap match, you touch all four corners, damn it. I mean, that's the way a strap match is supposed to be. Not pinfall submission shit. So, anyway. Fiend got the mandible claw on Bryan, put the slam on him, got the win. After the match, you know, Bryan was helped to the back. You saw his bloody welts and all this other stuff. And Bryan was tremendous selling all this. And limped back on his own. The crowd was, you know, cheering for him. And Bryan made this whole thing right here. Everything he did just made it.
Yeah, I thought this was like a 4-star match, or maybe more. This match was incredible. Like, Brian is just, I mean, there's just no wrestler better in the history of wrestling, like, at this point. Like, I don't know, maybe, I mean, sometimes it's kind of an emotional response, but like, he's clearly one of the all-time greats.
He's an all-timer,
I mean, nobody has matches as good with The Fiend. The Fiend fucking sucks. Like, this match was, like, way better than it had any right to be. Way, way, way better than it had any right to be. Like, brutal, awesome transition spots, like, awesome moments, like, it, like, holy shit, this match was good. And don't get me wrong, The Fiend did well. I mean, he was fine. But Brian was just, God, he was good in this. God, the welt shots are brutal. He's bleeding all on his back and elbow. Yeah, this was awesome. Counter to the running knee and to the Twister Abigail was beautiful. That was an amazing spot. There was also the brutal lariat on the floor. God, that was ugly. But yeah, this match was awesome. I actually thought the finish was a little weak because I don't like The Fiend using the mandible claws as finish. I think it's lame. But yeah, this was an awesome, awesome match. Just an all-time great doing his thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, again, we're not going to have any WWE, like, well, Super Showdown. You know, that's what it is. I mean, Super Showdown is supposed to be Fiend and Kane. So, your master.
That's Kane. Right, my mayor.
Your master and ruler, Kane. Super Showdown. So, we'll have Kane and Brian stuff with The Fiend on SmackDown, I'm sure. So we'll see what happens in March if we get some type of chamber match or something with these guys or something. Who knows? But, yeah, there you go. All right. Next, they announced the attendance for this show was 42,715, in which they were very happy about saying they beat Taylor Swift's attendance mark in the building. So props to them for that. And Tom plugged the Saudi Arabia show. So there you go. All right. Next, we got the Raw Women's Championship. Becky Lynch defending against Asuka, which is a rematch from last year, where Asuka beat Becky Lynch for the SmackDown Women's Championship. So here we go. Continuity. And Becky's whole deal was that she would not re-sign her contract until she beat Asuka. And that was an interesting story to tell in this. Asuka's the one she hasn't beaten. So they went out there and they had a really good match. Really good match, but the crowd just didn't care. I think part of this is the crowd. I don't think the crowd wants to boo Asuka. Even though Asuka's a great heel, I don't think the crowd wants to boo her. Even they want to cheer, or they just are apathetic towards
her. Right.
You know, I just think that's how it is. So, but yeah, it was really good stuff here. We had some near falls. Becky almost hit the referee. And at that point in time, Asuka was getting ready to spread the miss. But Becky kicked her in the gut. Miss went in the air. Didn't hit nothing. Then Becky got the disarmer. Asuka tapped out. You know, it's a good match. Becky won. And there you go. So now that story is pretty much over with in a way. So now Becky moves on to her bigger and better things. But yeah, what'd you think about this match here?
Yeah, this match was real, real good. It was a really, really good title match. I think it was actually about a half step or maybe a step below last year's match. But, you know, the last year's match did open the show, and so the crowd was with them then, and where they weren't here. But, you know, strong performances from both, worked very technical style, and Becky's great at that. Asuka can do anything and work, you know, can work any style of match. Good teases for submissions, some good teases on the apron spots and stuff. Asuka takes the remember last year Becky took, or was maybe it was Asuka, they did the fisherman suplex off the apron. This year Asuka takes a takes a front suplex on her knees and face. on the floor.
Oh my God, yeah.
Really, really good match. I loved the finish. That was very clever, very well done. I really liked that Asuka had to tap to Becky as a callback to last year when Becky tapped for Asuka. So, yeah, really good match. Looks like this is the end of this story, but I like the story. Some ways I wish it could have been a little bit better, but the placement and the crowd and whatnot hurt things a little bit. But yeah, this was ultimately well done, and I think Becky and Charlotte is a tease and not necessarily going to be the case. And like you said, we've got Mark and Elimination Chamber coming up in 5 weeks. Things can certainly switch around a little bit. So we're things are a little bit more clear, but we're not quite there yet. We're not quite there.
Oh, we got a long way to go. We're just now starting Mania season, folks. So, you know, things change. We've seen that before. So, absolutely. All right. So, it was during this match that I noted that Tom Phillips had a great weekend this weekend. He called NXT with Nigel, as Mauro Ranallo had a previously scheduled gig on Showtime. And Tom was tremendous on there with Nigel. They were great together. And then Tom tonight with Jerry Lawler was really good. So it was during this match that Russell Votes on Twitter, who is very, very connected in WWE.
And reliable.
Made the announcement during the match that for the foreseeable future, Tom Phillips is now the lead announcer on Raw, replacing Vic Joseph. So it would be Tom and Jerry on Raw Monday nights. And I like Vic. I thought Vic did a good job. But Tom got a Raw deal with SmackDown. And since then, he's done a really good job with NXT UK. He's done 205 Live.
I wonder if it was time for him to come Tom back. Got a 2 years late punishment for the stuff that came out a couple of years ago.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, maybe. But I think Heyman handpicked his announced team in a way, which is interesting to look at now because it's amazing. The only one left is Jerry Lawler for that NXT team. But Tom, like I said, Tom's done great lately and has put himself in that position to get the spot. So props to him. Props to Tom. So there you go. All right. Now we get the men's Royal Rumble. And Booker T comes out to join the commentary desk, and we get a reunion of one of the greatest commentary teams in recent history. Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and Booker T, all together reunited again. They announced here that Rusev and Bobby Lashley would not be in the match because they got into a brawl earlier.
I wish they'd show us
and
the
were
video.
Medically cleared. It would have been nice if we would have had a video of that, but no, we didn't get that. Maybe on Raw tomorrow night. So, of course, Brock Lesnar we know is first. He said he would be number one, and he was. This starts off with quite the interesting cast of characters. Elias comes out. Of course, Elias plays his song. He gets in there, and Brock beats the shit out of him. Hits him with the guitar, throws him out. Garrett Rowan's out next. He's limited in 8 seconds. Brock should have got the cage, and then we could have seen what was inside of it. Didn't happen. Robert Roode came out. He got a couple shots in on Brock. Brock got rid of him. John Morrison comes out next. And just now back on the company. Brock just launched him out of the ring. John could have had a serious injury there, but luckily that didn't happen on his launching. Kofi Kingston comes out. So here we go. Kofi's getting revenge on Brock for beating him for the title. Crowd went nuts. Kofi got some offense on him, and Kofi was looking good, but Brock got in control. Then Rey Mysterio comes out next. Like, holy shit, here we go. Brock's enemies are going to team up on him. And Rey was looking like Batman this evening, and they were doubling up on Brock, but Brock took them both down. Then Big E comes out. Here we go. And Big E rallies the troops at ringside, and they get in there, and Big E and Brock, I mean, come on. I mean, that's a cool fucking pairing. And Brock had a trouble in paradise. Big E gained the big ending. Ray got the 619. Big E got down on his knees for the Hardy Boy spot. Where Ray, this is the sequence that we get from this. Ray jumps off Big E's back. Brock eats him alive, eliminates him. Brock then runs and jumps off Big E's back and hits a jumping clothesline on Kofi. Then Brock eliminates both men. That was insane. You know, and I forgot to mention earlier on, Brock was when Brock ran after Elias at the start of the match. Oh my God, it was scary as hell. That Brock running
first of all,
is
Brock
scary
almost
as hell.
Hurt himself.
Yeah, he almost tore his ACL.
Seriously,
we could have had a torn ACL or torn quad, which would have been amazing. So Brock's all alone again. Cesaro comes out. Brock takes care of him. So by this point in time, we've had 9 people in this match, and 6 of them are SmackDown guys. So we're getting that rid of SmackDown early. Shelton Benjamin comes out. Now this was tremendous. Shelton comes out. Brock's smiling. Shelton's smiling. Shelton and Paul hug. Shelton gets in the ring. He hugs Brock, and we got a reunion of the Minnesota Stretching Crew, which makes 2001 me mark out because that was my favorite tag team, OVW. I love those guys together, and they stood side by side. I was like, oh shit. Maybe we're going to get Brock and Shelton here. Well, no. Brock eliminates him. I do think it would have been a better story if Shelton would have been the one to get the first shot in on Brock, but that's just me. Next, we get another one of Brock's old rivals from way back, Shinsuke Nakamura. And they got in there, and Shinsuke got a strike on, but brought the other Kinshasa and eliminated him, so got him out of there. So Inoki was smiling at that. Then MVP, which was his return was spoiled on Twitter yesterday, as somebody took a picture of the MVP logo being flashed inside the stadium. So there you go, without a surprise to some people, but it's the first time he'd been around in almost 10 years, and it looked pretty good. He looked like he came from Wakanda. He has Black Panther tribute gimmick going on here. So he gets in there. Another former IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Brock eliminates him quickly. Then we get Keith Lee. And now the getting's good. Brock's facials for this was tremendous. Brock looking in like, oh my God, look at this big boy. You know, that's a big dude. So Brock comes out, he gets in there, and Brock, they do a stare down, they do the big man stuff, and the crowd's eating it alive. Then Braun Strowman comes out. Oh, he gets even beefier. And they go up to Brock together. But then Braun starts to go up to Keith. Braun, not the smartest man in this match. Braun tries to eliminate Brock. Brock comes back. Gets German suplex on both of them. Then Braun and Keith start fighting each other again stupidly, and Brock gets rid of both of them. Crowd wasn't too happy about that one. So Brock is still all alone. Ricochet comes in at 15. So Brock has eliminated 13 men. Ricochet comes in. Of course, they had their deal from Raw. Ricochet said he wanted to fight Brock. So Brock starts taking it to him. And then Drew McIntyre comes out of 16. And Drew, when he was face-to-face with Brock, you just see how much of a massive human being Drew McIntyre is. He is a large man. And he was looking at him in a great, great booking move. Ricochet hits Brock in the area that's Brock's weakest area, his dick and balls, as we've seen over the years. If you want to get Brock Lesnar, you go for his dick and balls. And then as that happened, Drew nailed him with a claymore right out of the ring. The crowd went completely apeshit for this. Drew McIntyre, humongous babyface right now. Tremendous. So, Lesnar didn't break the record. He tied the record. I'm sorry. So, there you go. He tied Braun's record at 13. So, he didn't even break Braun's record. So, Drew then eliminates Ricochet in one of the scariest eliminations I've seen in the Royal Rumble. Ricochet just was turning in the air and like, oh my God, this guy's going to land on his neck. No, thankfully he did. Miz comes out next. Future shot DT, claymore kick elimination immediately. Lesnar's still hanging around. And as he's hanging around, the crowd is doing the hey, goodbye to him. So, there you go. AJ Styles come out next looking like Captain America. And he's fighting Drew. And then Dolph comes out, much to my chagrin. Then Carl Anderson shows up. So now the ring's starting to flip a little bit. And Drew's getting triple teamed a little bit. But until AJ and Dolph get into it. Then we have number 21. Now, it's been rumored for weeks that this is going to happen. And there were some people that knew in the building. That had seen it and thought that it could happen. But nobody knew for sure. But then when you think you know me, and then the music hits, that the roof came off that building, the place went ape shit. Edge shows up. He gets the full Edge intro. We got fireworks. Edge is the emotion in his face. I mean, he is just overcome with emotion. I mean, I saw his last match at WrestleMania at the Georgia Dome. You know, I never thought I would see this man in the ring again. And here he is. And just amazing physical condition. Looking tremendous. Looking a little older, but looking tremendous. He gets in the ring. He spears Dolph Ziggler, but we never see it.
Unbelievable.
Because WWE production team went to a crowd shot. Amazing. Now, I make fun of Kevin Dunn all the time. But Kevin Dunn's actually not the guy that's calling the shots pretty much anymore. There's another guy that's really doing the shot calling. But he is a Kevin Dunn disciple. Jesus Christ. What, just terrible. But we get the spears on Carl and Drew, and it was, and then AJ.
Ooh, man.
Where Edge speared AJ, and AJ did a full twisting bump landing right on his neck. And it hurt
him. Yes.
We don't know how serious an injury is, but it hurt him. So, place is going nuts for Edge. How do you follow that up? Here comes King Corbin. So Edge eliminates AJ. So King Corbin's in there. And then we get Matt Riddle. Now, Ryan Satin had reported earlier in the day, well, during the show, actually, that Brock Lesnar and Matt Riddle got into a verbal altercation backstage. So there's that going on, and I'm curious about all that. You know, what is real and what isn't. It's Paul Heyman. You know, Matt Riddle is a guy who Paul Heyman loves. Brock Lesnar, of course, is Brock. So, yeah. But that's the Matt Riddle Brock story. Matt Riddle comes in here. And, got the crowd chanting, bro, was doing his shit, kicking. Not yet got hit Edge with a ripcord D, which was interesting. And then Corbin eliminated Riddle. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed because I said, this is classic WWE trolling the internet right here.
Classic way to get Dylan Hills and not watch WWE. But
I mean, of all the guys to eliminate Matt Riddle, it was Corbin. I mean, it's just hilarious. I can't help but laugh. Can't help but laugh at that one. So, Gallows comes in next. So now we got the OC. Well, Carl and Luke Gallows here. AJ's gone. Corbin gives Edge the deep six, where Edge made sure to protect himself. Thank God. Didn't need no tragedy there. Then Drew got rid of Corbin. Big babyface move there. Then we get Randy Orton. Now, you know, I was hoping that Randy would come out while Edge was in there. So we got the rated RKO reunion here, where the OC got RKO.
I'm sure AJ was supposed to be in here when he came out, but he needed to go because I think, I mean, he was hurt.
Yeah. So Edge and Orton got rid of them after they looked at each other. And the best part of all this was Randy and Edge looking at each other. Randy just being Randy Orton looking at him says, "Huh, you got abs." That's tremendous. Roman comes out next and gets booed because crowd thinks he's going to win. So Roman spears Dolph, eliminates him. Yay! So now we're in the Monday Night Raw portion of the show now. So Kevin Owens comes out next. And he looks great when he comes in. He avoids RKO, gives Orton a stunner. Aleister Black's out next. He starts putting his strikes in. Gave Drew a black mask. The crowd's chanting, "This is awesome." Of course, it's the Raw guys in the ring. Of course it's awesome. Then Samoa Joe comes out. So we just keep on going. And as predicted, Joe and Owen started fighting each other. Then we get Seth Rollins in at 30. Now, Buddy Murphy was supposed to be in this match. That didn't happen.
So were Otis and Tucker. So
Yeah, there were a few guys that weren't supposed to be in there that weren't. But they came, Buddy and AOP came out with Seth, and Owens and Joe left the ring to brawl with them, and then they got involved with everybody else in the match. Rollins gave curse stomps to Drew and Roman. Buddy interfered with Aleister Black, and Seth got rid of him. Then they attacked Aleister Black. Owens gave Rollins a stunner and threw him out, but AOP caught him. And then Rollins eliminated Owens and that. Joe got Rollins to cook in a clutch. Buddy got involved, and Rollins eliminated him. So then that sets up a brawl between Owens, Joe, and Murphy. Owens, Black, Joe, and Murphy, AOP. Which was really fun. But they got Seth's guys off in there. So Seth's all by himself. Which leaves Seth in there with Randy Orton, Edge, Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre surrounding him. Now Seth tries to get on Roman's good side again. You know, he attacked him with a curve stomp earlier, saying, "Let's get the shield here. Come on." Roman Superman punches his ass. And then they all hit their moves on Seth, and they tumped him out. Great stuff. So our final four of the Royal Rumble is Roman Reigns, Edge, Randy Orton, and Drew McIntyre. Quite the interesting final four. And Edge and Orton, do their little thing. The fans chanting, "This is awesome again." Orton gave Drew an RKO. Edge hit a spear. Then double RKO. Then in a classic Randy Orton moment, Randy Orton gets prepared to hit an RKO on Edge. Edge turns around because he knows Randy Orton. Randy stands up and just shrugs his shoulders like you know me. You know me. Just tremendous. God bless Randy Orton. So the crowd was loving that. And then Edge, being Edge, ultimate opportunist, he goes behind Orton and eliminates him. And Randy goes on the floor. He's like, ah. I mean, it was tremendous. I love that. Love that so much. So then we have Edge, Roman, and Drew left as the final three. Edge and Roman brawl. Roman went for a spear. Edge dodged it. Edge hit his spear, which got a big pop. Crowd was booing Roman here. And then Edge and Roman were brawling the apron. Roman eliminated Edge. They didn't like that. And then Roman gave Drew a Superman punch, but Drew hit the Claymore kick, and Drew tossed at Roman Reigns. Place went absolutely bonkers for that, because they surely thought Roman was going to win. And Drew McIntyre is a superstar, folks. He is a superstar right now. And with Paul Heyman running the show, I don't think we have to worry too much, because it's going to be Drew and Brock. So Brock's gonna play ball. I mean, that's the thing we got to look at with Brock Lesnar and all this. With Paul Heyman running Raw, Brock on Raw, I mean, Brock is going to play ball with whoever, however Heyman wants to play ball. So this, we have a different type of situation with Brock. And the thing about this match is, yes, Brock eliminated all these motherfuckers that started the match. Yes. But that's the story they were telling. The story they were telling was Brock was this mega Superman monster that when the time was right for him to be eliminated, it was going to be a big fucking deal. And the crowd was going to go nuts, and they did. And it was all to make Drew, even though Ricochet helped with his ball shot. And that's going to set up a Brock Ricochet deal.
Because remember,
I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah. So they're Brock exactly. And Ricochet so for the title elimination chamber. I could almost guarantee it.
Yes, it's perfect. It's Paul Heyman's. I mean, it's Paul Heyman's.
It's going to make Ricochet look good, and then Brock and Drew Mania.
Because what does Brock do in matches with smaller guys?
He makes them look good. Sells for him.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So I thought this Rumble was tremendous, fantastic. This was one of my favorite Royal Rumbles ever. And because it was unique, we had two different Royal Rumbles in the one. I mean, I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. So let me get your thoughts on everything going on.
Yeah, I ultimately thought it was a great Rumble match. I thought there were some really slow parts, particularly like after Lesnar got eliminated, which makes sense. You know, the crowd goes down a little bit. But yeah, this was really well done. My friends who are non-fans, were getting incredibly irritated. They were just badly wanting Brock to be eliminated. By the time, like,
that's the point!
Exactly, and it was very well done. You could tell, like, it was like, they were so frustrated. And Dustin and I were like, oh, it'll you know, somebody will come. Yeah, this was a really, really, really well done match. The Keith Lee stuff was awesome. I popped huge for that. Drew McIntyre looked like he was going nowhere a couple of months ago. And he just became, the fans started cheering for him, you know, and he started becoming a babyface ass kicker. He never really changed who he was either.
No.
And that's the key. That's the key with wrestling.
I'll tell you what changed. Go ahead. Go finish your thought. Go ahead. I'll tell you what changed. Go ahead.
And people can give Paul Heyman all the flack that they want to give, but he knows, I think Heyman knows that. He knows that, you know, you can't change who you are. And, you know, he got it to where McIntyre, who's good on the mic and is fun and has awesome offense, to beat the shit out of jobbers on Raw and look good and get wins and have fun segments with Randy Orton. And yeah, I mean, they started really getting behind him. And then when he eliminated Brock, and mind you, Brock was very good tonight. He was totally gassed, but that's Brock. Brock was very good tonight. There was a one spot where he picked up Ricochet and gave him a backbreaker, and Brock almost collapsed because he was exhausted. But that's just me, you know, digging at Brock a little bit. But he was great tonight. Don't get me wrong. That was such an awesome moment when he eliminated Brock. And Brock has got to be buying in to McIntyre too, at least a little bit, because Brock laid on that fucking floor and sold that shit and sold it the whole way through when he got back up. And it was awesome. And I love Drew kept looking back at Brock like, you're my bitch. Like, it was awesome. Yeah, you know, the match went down a little bit after that, but I'm a little concerned for AJ. You know, that was a really scary bump he took. You saw the part where he mouthed off to Corbin, "I'm hurt," when Corbin was going to give him a punch, if you remember. And Corbin just kind of let, you know, gave him a punch and let him sit. You know, he was able to take a bump over the top rope. But I really do hope he's okay. Hopefully it was just a stinger. That was a scary bump, and for a guy his age, but yeah, I'm a little concerned for him, but I'm thinking I'll be okay, but boy, that was ugly. Edge got an amazing pop. I thought he looked very good. He looks old, particularly in the face, but definitely good shape. Looked good. I was never a big Edge fan, but I've grown to like him as a person through the Edge and Christian show and through his interviews and stuff.
Do you think the hair makes him look older? Going back to the long hair,
a little bit, but he's got the wrinkles in the face too. Like he's aging in the face some. You know, he definitely looks 44 or however old he is. I think that's how old he is, 43 or 44.
And how about Edge and Beth Phoenix tonight?
Yes, the Copelands kicking ass.
My God.
they were both very, very good tonight. Very good. Edge and Roman, their chemistry was great. I thought they had really good chemistry. I thought they had their little thing in the final three was really, really good.
You got a story. Who's got the spear? Yep. The best spear. Yep.
Randy was amazing in this. God, I love old man Randy. I mean, he's so awesome. Like, he's having fun. He doesn't give a fuck. Like, he is so awesome. And he's a veteran now. You know, he's been doing this for 20 years. There's just something about him now. He doesn't take himself too seriously. You know, he lets young guys, like, he lets Drew McIntyre turn his chest into meat and fucking, like he has on TV and, like, sells his chops. I mean, just everything about Randy every week is just massively entertaining. He was tremendous tonight. Just very entertaining. Just wonderful. He was just amazing. You know, the Rollins stuff was kind of, you know, I think it's good for him to have a group, but I'm not a Rollins fan, but I loved the ending with him getting eliminated and the guys fought. That was really well done. And of course, McIntyre eliminates Brock, eliminates Corbin, and eliminates Roman Reigns to win. That's a superstar making match right there. They made him tonight. And you know what? If they have any guts, I'm not saying they won't, but you never know with Brock. If they have any guts, they give him that clean win, just like they fucking gave the shitty-ass Seth Rollins over Brock Lesnar. He beats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. That motherfucker's a star. Like, he's already there in a lot of ways after tonight. But if he beats Brock clean, oh, he's definitely there. He's a made man for life if he does that. They're halfway mean, there. What,
I mean, you think about, It's time. It's time to do it. The guy is just...
He's at a good age still. He's young.
He's peaking.
You know?
He's peaking right now. I mean, you could push this so much on his, you know, Scottish-born world champion, you know? I mean, just... I mean, there's so much you can do there with that. And here's what I was going to say, you know, about Drew. Drew... When he cut that promo on Raw a while back.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
That was it. Because Heyman is basically letting Drew be himself. Drew, it's not like Drew's playing a character like he was.
Right.
He's being himself. He's being loose. And You could see what was going on immediately when he started doing the 3-2-1 before the Claymore. I mean, that's like, this dude's about to be a mega baby face because heels ain't doing 3-2-1, you know, like that. I mean, this dude's ready to roll. Raw's going to be very interesting tomorrow night to see, you know, to see how the crowd reacts to him and everything. But again, I mean, you watch this show, and it's just, again, so night and day, Raw and SmackDown right now. This is insane. Raw has all these directions, all this stuff is going on, and how it intertwines with each other. I mean, there's so much going on Raw right now, and SmackDown is just like blah. And I mean, yeah, I mean that's why the Royal Rumble was like the Raw spotlight. You had all these guys who had issues with each other and stuff that's going on, and it all played into the story. And the Seth thing, okay. I mean, Seth, I'm not the biggest fan of Seth Rollins either, but I will say that Seth in this role has been tremendous because he's being a heel. He's being a real heel, not like he was with Triple H and Authority.
Right. Bullshit. He's not this whiny heel that's unwatchable.
He's got the bullshit chicken shit here.
He's got the element of his bullshit chicken shit stuff, but it's not so over the top like it was with the Authority stuff. Like he walks tall and then isn't in the end.
He's the boss. Right,
exactly. Like it's
and like Triple H and Stephanie was the boss, and he was like he was their chosen one, you know. I mean it was that whole vision, you know. Now he's the guy that's got his crew. He's recruited these guys. And they're his crew. And it's like an old school heel stable.
Looks like they got they got Aleister Black involved there tonight.
Yes, and that, I mean you're gonna have Joe and Black and Owens. I mean, good lord. I mean,
I mean,
there and you had a four, whether it be Drew, you get Drew involved in as a fourth guy and all this. I mean, Jesus, that'd be a hell of an 8-man tag.
Yep.
I mean, with Rollins' crew, there's Drew, Aleister Black, Owens and Joe. I mean, just a lot going on there. And again, all these guys that are baby faces that aren't like Joe and Owens and Drew and Aleister Black, they haven't done anything. They're just baby. The fans are cheering.
You know what though, Chris? They win their matches. That's why you do squash matches on TV. You have these guys out there, you know, particularly with Black and Andrade and Drew McIntyre and Ricochet. You give them they have squash matches and they win them. You know, wins matter. Wins and losses matter.
No, Heyman's letting these guys show their personality. Yes. That's getting them over as baby faces. Not let's turn. We're going to do a turn on this guy and we're going to, you know, neuter him and make him into this shitty corporate style baby face like Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins got screwed with, you know?
Right.
Here's the thing, you know, imagine how different wrestling is right now if they would have let Paul Heyman take control of Raw like a year earlier.
Oh, yeah. I know.
When Moxley was still around.
Yep.
A Paul Heyman booked Moxley.
Yep.
You know? Yep. I mean, think about how different wrestling is with Moxley, you know, not wanting to leave the company.
Right.
You know, this is a lot of what ifs. But anyway, all right, let's talk about this. Let's do the final grade here. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Where are you at?
I'm the thumbs up for sure. You know, they made a star in the men's rumble. I think, you know, for the most part, the right people went over. Not a Charlotte fan, but, you know, I don't think it was a bad decision necessarily. I'm just not a fan. I mean, granted, I think she's a great wrestler. I just don't love her. You know, yeah, this was a big thumbs up. I thought it was a really good show. I thought, you know, Bailey Lacey was eh, but you know, the other two matches were really good. Bryan was Daniel Bryan. The two pre-show matches were excellent. I big thumbs up for me.
When I judge a Royal Rumble show, I mean, mainly my grade comes down to how good were the Royal Rumbles. And both Rumbles were awesome. Tremendous in their own way. So it's a double thumbs up for me. Easy thumbs up. You know, the booking was great on the Rumbles. You know, the deal with, like I said, the deal with Charlotte winning was, I mean, she's Charlotte. She's been kind of on the back burner lately, you know? And now it's time to put her back out there again as a major player. So, I mean, yeah, it was whatever you think is whatever you think, but that's the way it is. So, and the way Brock was booked, being, you know, eliminating all those guys early, paid off. We got a big payoff off of that. So that's what matters. And there were stories told in both matches. And then everything going on, it was really good. So it was really good stuff. So, all right. That's it for us. We will be back next month.
We're going to do the Portland show, I think, right? A couple weeks.
Yeah.
Our NXT show we might get to do, but I figured we would try that. So I think we're going to try and do it if we still want to. So.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do it then. All right. So for Devin, this is Chris. Saying so long from the Peach State.